All right, welcome back to another year of the Rabbi's Desk. So again, for those who are, I think everyone here is familiar with this year. I think I'm not seeing really too many new faces here, but just to reacquaint ourselves, the idea is that I tried to take one, two, or three of the most interesting shailas that I was asked over the past week and try to share them with you, and together hopefully work out an answer to the shaila, so that, you know, the people who've been waiting a week to get an answer, hopefully through our pilpul chaverim, they'll be able to we'll be able to arrive at a halachic conclusion. So this week I only prepared to talk about one shaila. There are a lot of very interesting shailas. We'll save some of them for a different time. But the shaila that I prepared to talk about was the fact, and I'm not sure that my answer is correct, but again, pilpul chaverim will figure it out. The shaila was as follows. I got a text last week from someone. No, not a text. A guy came over to me in shul and told me that there was a Dan's Deals. All great shailas start with Dan's Deals. So there was a Dan's Deals alert that if you go on ToysRUs.com, Toys R Us was running a promotion. The promotion that they were running was, if you buy one little tchotchke, you know, 99-cent tchotchke, I don't know what it was, but one little worthless piece of garbage, you get four worthless pieces of garbage for free. So you'll get four more of that same tchotchke for free. That was the deal that they were running. Why did Dan's Deals want to alert you to how many pieces of little tchotchkes and garbage you can get? Because there was a glitch in the Toys R Us website. If you buy one little tchotchke for 99 cents, you can order four of anything for free. So as I'm sure you can figure out, orders came from Five Towns, Queens, Muncie, Brooklyn, Lakewood for drones, swing sets, Xboxes, you know, all for the one 99-cent tchotchke. So the shaila the person had was as follows. This fellow, this friend of mine who was alerted to this because he subscribes to the Dan's Deals alerts, immediately reacted and made three orders. He bought three little tchotchkes and 12 gigantic things. And he knew that probably Toys R Us will catch on and they're going to cancel all these orders. You know, he figured probably it's not going to work, but he figured might as well try. He did not ask a shaila at that point. He just did this. He made three orders. He got an email that his first two orders were not processed. He was never charged the 99 cents for the tchotchke, and none of the orders being processed. He's not going to receive any of that. That was obviously a mistake, and Toys R Us has no intention of honoring that. You know, those orders. His third order, he got charged full price for everything, for everything that was in the order. So he emailed Toys R Us, and he said, look, I don't want all these things. I don't want to pay for all these things. They said, that's fine. It's being charged to your credit card. You'll get delivery of these things, and you'll return it like any other normal customer returns things that they don't want. But sorry, you know, you took a risk by clicking on buying all these things, so you're going to get them delivered to your house. They're being charged to your credit card. You want to return them, Gesundheit, go ahead and return them. So he started getting the items that he ordered. I don't think he ordered a swing set. Probably a swing set comes in pieces, so it wouldn't count as one thing. It would count as like a million things. But he ordered, you know, a drone. He sent me the email. I think it was an Xbox, a drone, I don't know what else it was. But so, you know, a McLaren stroller. These strollers are like, they're like $1,200 or something, $1,500 strollers. So he ordered these things. So he's going to have to take delivery. They're all being charged to his credit card. And then he's going to have to print out the packing label and send it back and all the, like a regular return. So fine. He knew that's what he had to do, and he was fine with that. But then he started getting items from the second order in the mail. Second order never hit his credit card at all. The 99 cents never even hit his credit card. They canceled that order. And he said, I'm okay with that. You know, he spoke to them on the phone. I know that order is canceled. And there was some miscommunication. And they started sending him items from the second order. So he wants to know, is he obligated to return those items?
He's not being charged for them. Right?
He's not being charged for them at all.
He also got the third items and then sold them.
What?
He also got the third and then returned them.
The third ones he was going to return because he didn't want to pay for them. The only way he's not paying for them is
the second replaced the third. They
No, he got all the stuff from the Third Order. And then in addition, he started getting some of the stuff from the Second Order. He, at the time that he asked, he wasn't sure if he was going to get everything from the Second Order, but he got at least some of the stuff from the Second Order. Had already arrived. So now is he allowed to keep it? So Nu, what say you? So this would seem to be a classic case of Talos Akum.
They don't know about it, right?
What?
They'll never find out?
Who are they? Toys R Us?
Yeah.
It would seem that they don't know about it. It would seem... Somebody's getting fired in Toys R Us. So, for sure, a computer programmer, and probably a couple of people in the shipping department also. Exactly. But at this point, it seems that they don't know about it.
How far do we extend the Mishra's Din in terms of that I should do
it? Okay, how far do we extend the Mishra's Din? But even within Talos Akum, is this a classic case of Talos Akum? So let's... you know what, let me give you the classic maskana that would normally be said whenever discussing Talos Akum. You know, it's just the basic framework that people normally say over, and then go back to the sugya and try to figure out if it applies over here. Classically, what people assume is that Talos Akum is mutter, mate akum is asur, which means that if a guy makes a mistake and he accidentally gives you a couple of extra dollars of change, it's mutter to keep it. You didn't ask for an extra couple of dollars. You didn't cause him to miscount it. You're allowed to keep it. Mata akum, if you do something to cause him to make a mistake, you trick him, that's usur. You're not allowed to do that. You're not allowed to be mata akum. So then the question would boil down to, what's this? Is this taos akum or is this mata akum? Now, make an argument for either side.
Taos akum is their system. Is there a glitch?
It was their shipping after the whole thing was canceled. Everything was canceled. They on their own sent you something by mistake. So that's Talos Akum. Make the argument the other way.
Yeah, but you said that you only purchased this and you get the same thing. Shouldn't we get other things?
They would never be sending you these things if you weren't trying to trick them in the first place to send you. They're only sending you, they're not sending you random things out of the warehouse. They're sending you things you clicked on their website. They're sending you that McLaren stroller, that drone, that whatever, the things that you clicked on.
Especially clicked on them. Only for the same four items in the first place. So they're not expecting.
Exactly. So these are the two tzadim. You could say it's a Talos Akum because, no, that original transaction was canceled. And that's over. And this is a brand new transaction. Therefore, it would be Talos Akum. Or you could say, no, this is not a brand new transaction. It's clearly a result of what they had sent you, what you had clicked on originally, which would be a violation of Mata Akum. So that is that's what I immediately thought. That's what I immediately thought would be the only issue to look at. But we're going to take a step back and look at it more deeply. Oh, okay. So let's figure out where does this idea come from? I've heard it a million times, right? Everyone said Talos Akum is mutter, Mata Akum is not okay. I'm sure many of you have heard that rule before. Where does it come from? So with the Gemara about Talos Akum, the sugi about Talos Akum is Baba Kama Kufyud Gimlam Beis. And the Gemara says it in the context of the Isser, the sugi about the Isser of stealing from a guy, which there is no machlokas, it's usher to steal from a guy. The machlokas is whether it's Nisad Daraisa or Nisad Drabanan, but it's absolutely usher to steal from a guy. And it's Paskin Rambam, Shulchan Aruch. There's no one argues about that, right? That is absolutely forbidden. And in the context of that, the Gemara talks about, what about Hashavas Aveda? Oh, Hashavas Aveda doesn't apply to a guy. Probably this relates to the idea of Shachta likes to say over that mitzvos bin adam lechavero are based on the notion of reciprocity. That in general, whenever you have mitzvah bin adam lechavero, the assumption is, I do for you because I would expect you to do the same for me. Would I expect a guy to do Hashavas Aveda for me? Probably not. Would I expect him not to steal from me? Hopefully, yes. I would expect him not to steal from me. And that's why, you know, the mitzvahs of like Bikur Cholim and things like that probably don't apply to a guy, but mitzvahs that, Isurim bin adam lechavero typically do, because Isurim bin adam lechavero, you would hope that they wouldn't do to you either, and you expect this reciprocal relationship. But in that sugya, the Gemara introduces us to Talos Akum through four stories. That's all it really has. Four stories that appear in the Gemara. Amar Shmuel, Ta'uso Mutares. Shmuel says, Ta'us of a guy is mutter. So what are the stories? Story number one. Ki hadi Shmuel zavan mikuti likna d'dava. Shmuel bought from a guy a golden fork, a golden piece of cutlery or something. Bimar de parzila. And the assumption that the guy was working with was that it was nechoshes. He was unable to identify the metal that he was selling. So he thought he was selling you gold. He was really selling you nechoshes. Ba'ar bazuze. And the price tag on it was 4 zuz. The ivla lechad zuza. And Shmuel managed to give him 3 zuz and make it look like it was 4 zuz and, you know, save an extra zuz on it by somehow, I don't know how you do that, you know, with big numbers, I can imagine that, 3 and 4, I don't know how he managed it, but somehow Shmuel managed to make it look like he was giving 4 zuz, he was really giving 3 zuz, and therefore he was mata the guy in two ways. Number one, he never told the guy that it's gold and therefore worth more, and number two, he paid him less money than he was supposed to pay him. That is story number one. Deeply troubling, right? This doesn't seem to be Tos Akum, doesn't seem to be Mata Akum, this seems to be Gezel Akum. And Gezel Akum is Asr according to everybody. So that's story number one. Story number two, the Gemara says, Rav Kana Zavan Mikuti Meya Vesum Chavisa. Rav Kana bought from a guy 120 barrels Bimeya, and the guy thought that he was selling him 100 barrels. Vivla lechad zuza, and he also paid him one zuz too few for the amount that he thought he was buying. So Amalei, the guy said to Rav Kana, Chazid alach kasamichna. I gave way too much of there. Amalei, he said to him, Chazid alach kasamichna. You should know I'm relying on you to do the cheshbon. I'm not keeping the cheshbon. I'm relying on you to figure out, you know, whether it is the right amount of barrels and the right amount of money. Now, there are two ways to learn that story. Amarlei, who said that to who? So you could learn that the guy said to Rav Kahana that I'm relying on you to do the cheshbon. Rav Kahana's like, great. You're relying on me? Okay, yeah, that's only 100. Yeah, and this is all the money you asked for. You know, okay, no problem. The guy was going to be totally trusting. And he knew, therefore, that it wouldn't be Echel Hashem because the guy would never find out because he wasn't going to count. That's one way to learn it. That's the way Rashi learns. Others learn, no. Rav Kahana said to the guy, I'm relying on you to do the cheshbon. And therefore, he put the burden of responsibility on the guy. And that allows him to do all the shtick. Because he said, I'm not counting. You're the one that's supposed to be counting. And if the guy refuses to count or he's too lazy to count, that's his problem if he doesn't want to count. Either way, this story is also somewhat troubling, no? That on purpose, he's doing this on purpose. He's taking 120 barrels and he's supposed to get 100. He's underpaying on purpose. Third story. Ravina Zavan Dikla, Huvikuti. Ravina and a Kuti split a dekel tree. They bought together in partnership a dekel tree, litzlacha, in order to cut it in half and to split the branches of the dekel tree. So Amale Lishame, Ravina said to his shamish, Kadem va'isi me'ikaro. Go in and take the leaves at the bottom of the tree, because that's where the good stuff is. That's where the thicker, more robust leaves are at the bottom of the tree. And that way, when we count up the leaves, I get half, he gets half. So let's say there are 200 leaves on the tree. I get 100, he gets 100. He's not going to realize I'm going to get the good ones. And he's going to have 100 inferior ones, because I'm going to get the more robust, healthy leaves that are at the bottom of the tree. All the kuti knows is numbers. You know, he's going to divide it up based on the numbers, and that way I'll get the better end of the deal. That is the third story. And then one final story the Gemara tells us. Ravashi have a kazal borcha. Ravashi was walking. Chaza shivshu degufna bepardisa. And he saw grapevines in a pardes, in an orchard. Vitaliba kitufe de invi. And there were clusters of grapes hanging from the grapevine. Amrle l'shame, Ravashi says to his shamish, Zil chazi, I want you to look into this place for me. If this field is, if this pardes, if this orchard is owned by a guy, I see. Then get me some of those grapes. Idi Yisrael ninu lo I see. If it's owned by a Jew, please don't bring me any of these grapes. Now, unfortunately for Rav Ashi, Shamahu Kuti Davi Yasef bePardesa. The Kuti happened to have been sunbathing in his pardes, and he overhears this conversation. This great rabbi with, you know, you'd imagine the long white beard and whatever, you know, is telling his shamish, go check if it's a guy, and if it's a guy, go steal his grapes. So the Kuti was none too happy. Amalei, to Kuti Shari? He said, oh, really? That's what it says in your book? So you let us steal from me? So Amalei, Kuti Shakildami, Yisrael Shakildami. He said, no, you misunderstood. A Kuti would be willing to take money from me. I'm a holy rabbi. When I ask for things from Jews, they don't take any money from me. I want to buy. I want to pay for it. I don't want things given to me for free. So I said, if it's a Kuti, go and take it so that we can pay for it. I was going to steal it. But if it's a Jew, then I don't want it at all, because the Jew won't take any money from me. That's how he defended himself. Most Rishonim understand that he was telling the truth, that he was not covering up, you know, for his misdeed. Mamash telling the truth. That was the plan all along, that he was going to pay for it. He just was going to take the grapes and pay for it later. Mistama, it was for sale. It was a paradise where he assumed it was for sale.
How does that fit with the other stories?
Yeah. What do you mean?
The other stories are all schemes or...
Right. So because the Kuti thought this was a scheme.
Why is the story at all?
I mean, that fits in with Elba.
Right. What do we learn from the story?
That's why you're supposed to speak Yiddish, because...
you know that story with the football player?
No.
This is in one of the... what's his name? The guy that writes Touched by a Story, all those... Rabbi Spiro's books. So it's about a Talmud of mine's grandfather. I have a Talmud whose entire family is from Indiana, from South Bend. And how did the whole family end up in South Bend? Because, and they're the ones that started the yeshiva, the Kailu, you know, South Bend is like an Irvein B'Yisrael now, but how did they end up there? They weren't religious. The grandfather wasn't religious, and he was from Chicago. He was not from Chicago. I forgot where he was from. He was from some place where he was the only Jew in his high school, and he played high school football. And they were playing against a team from Chicago that was like all Jews, and there was in a high school football game. And he was playing against this team, and the other team, the team from Chicago, since they were all Jews, instead of like having signs, you know, Omaha, whatever, you know, I don't know what they so they just spoke Yiddish, like Schmerl, run 10 steps that way, you know. Then so they just spoke Yiddish. But he was a defensive player, and I imagine a two-way player, but he was a defensive player, and he understood Yiddish because he was a Yid. So he anticipated every play. There was a scout from Notre Dame at the game, and he got a full football scholarship to Notre Dame. This Talmud's grandfather got a full football scholarship to Notre Dame. So he went to Notre Dame, got injured like his first game, and that was, you know, he was Rudy, you know, and he never played again, but he had a free ride to Notre Dame. He got a full football scholarship, started a business in South Bend, and, you know, supported Kailu, and his kids became from and everything else. So I don't know why. Oh yeah, yeah, that's what he reminded me of that. So this kid, this Talmud's family, the entire family is like, you know, obsessed with Notre Dame football. Like they're like even though like from Jews aren't college football fans because you can't watch any of the games, right? You can only watch the championship. You can't watch any of the. But they would tape the Notre Dame games. A lot of his uncles didn't become from, so you know they're big fans. The Talmud once told me that I normally tell the story in a different context. The Talmud once told me that his uncle checked into a hotel room once because he was driving somewhere far, a long trip, and he forgot about the football game. And where's he going to catch the football game? So he pulled off the road, checked in to a hotel to, you know, exactly where the football game started to watch the football game. Notre Dame lost. He checked out of the hotel, paid for the room, for the window, and for the television that it went through. I mean, the television and the window that it went through, right? Meaning very into their Notre Dame football. Okay, anyway. So you learn from this story, you got to speak Yiddish. Okay, but it could be that the reason for the story is to teach the opposite of the other stories. Meaning that the reason for the story is to tell us that, look, Rav Ashi held all these kinds of shenanigans are usher. You're not allowed to do stuff like this. If you're going to pay for it, then that's it, in full. In which case, it's a machlokas between Rav Ashi versus Rav Kahana, Ravina, Shmuel, depending on what you learn from each story. And then maybe we paskin like Rav Ashi, right? Meaning that there's what to discuss over there. So these are the four stories. Now, as far as isn't it a violation of stealing, that's a discussion in the Mefarshim on the Gemara, in the Rishonim, and many of the Rishonim, like I said, assume that at least in the case of Rav Ashi, his plan all along was to pay. Even if it's not a violation, even if all of these things are technically mutter, isn't this like beneath the level of a Talmud Chacham to be doing something like this? So I saw in the Masift on Baba Kama, he quotes, normally the Masift is very good about quoting where they're quoting from, you know, giving you sourcing where they're quoting from, So it quotes Yesh Mi Shehiksha. I don't know who. It doesn't have a footnote. There's someone who asks, Ketzad Hita Shmuel Asakuti Pamayim Gam Shehichlev Zav B'Nechoshes. How could Shmuel trick the Kuti twice and he switches the gold and the copper and also that he doesn't give him one of the coins that he owes him? And also Rav Kahana is mata the Kuti to sell him 120 barrels for the price of 100? This is not the way a great rabbi should act, even if you're going to say it's a way, regular, a great rabbi is going to act this way. So he quotes this Yesh Mishekshe, who answers that Stam Adam Sha'amal Al Kaspo, a regular person who works hard for his money, he's not going to allow himself to be fooled in such obvious things. I mean, these weren't nuances. This was not like gaming a system in a way where, oh, if you get that credit card and then you cancel it then, and then, this was not, it was not a cheshbon. This was like straight out. It was blatant. A regular businessman would never be allow himself to be fooled by something like this. Who would be fooled by something like this? Someone who's in a big rush to unload this merchandise as quickly as possible. Who's in a big rush to unload the merchandise as quickly as possible? People themselves are dishonest. So what they were doing was getting away, they were tricking the dishonest people. That's what they were doing. But they would never act this way with an honest person. This was the Nisayon to test whether they were honest or not. I don't know. I'm not sure. But here's what I do know. The Gemara is explicit that you're not allowed to steal from a guy. And as far as Ta'us Akum is concerned, the Gemara is explicit that it's aser, meaning despite the stories that the Gemara tells, the Gemara is explicit that it's mutter, right? As far as mate akum is concerned, it's machlokas rishonim. What's the discussion rishonim as far as mate akum is concerned? So first, it's important to know many rishonim hold, based on the stories that the Gemara follows up with, that these are all examples of mate akum, and that Mata Akum is the same as Talos Akum, that it's 100% Mutter. And if you only learned Bava Kama Daf Kuf Yud Gimel, you would get the impression Mata Akum is Mutter, and that is Shitas Rashi, that is Shitas HaTosfos, that Mata Akum is Mutter, unless, Tosfos points out, unless he'll chap. If he's going to chap, it's going to be Chilul Hashem. So Chilul Hashem is always going to be Asim. So if he doesn't chap, then it's going to be Mutter. That's what the Torah sounds like, he says. The Torah writes, Echer agorev mi Yisrael, ben katan ben gadol, vecher agorev mavid avodah zara, knevaso aser, you're not allowed to steal from a Jew, non-Jew, aval ta'uso, kigom lahat oso b'cheshbon. Gives an example, like what? Like you cause him to make a mistake b'cheshbon. In how much he's charging you. These are black and white in the Torah, choshemishva simishin memches. Olaf ki alvaso, or hafkas halva, not to pay back money that's owed, mutter. Ublvad shlo yivadalo, delek chilul Hashem. But it's only on the premise that there will not be a chilul Hashem. Chilul Hashem is always going to be asur. That's the shita of the Torah, it's the shita of Rashi, it's the shita of Tosfos, and it sounds like it's the shita of the Mechaber. I shouldn't say that. Mechaber doesn't really say anything. The Ramah's first day, the first day the Ramah quotes in Shulchan Aruch and Shemem Chesiv Beis, Taos Akum Kegon Lahat Oso Becheshbon is Mutter, he says. Not much the exact lashon of the Torah. So that is a significant Shita. The Yamshel Shlomo is bothered by this Shita, and he says he doesn't understand Rashi. He says, when the Gemara allows Hafkas Havaso, that's because b'derech chov or b'derech meches, there's no chiv to pay a guy. But to do a maisa to dafka deceive him, you can't imagine that Rashi would allow such a thing. And furthermore, what do you mean if, as long as there's no chilul Hashem? Who's promising there's not going to be a chilul Hashem? Who's promising that the guy's not going to chav, that he's not going to realize what happened? So the Yamshel Shlomo gives a different pshat, and he says that what happened in the story of Shmuel is not the way Rashi explained it. What happened was, Shmuel gave an extra zuz. Ivele zuzah means he made it look like he was giving four, but he really gave five. Not that he gave three. Now, why on earth would he do that? because the guy's going to see, oh my God, I just got five, and he's going to run the other way. Like, he's going to want to get the transaction over as quickly as possible, and he's not going to look, because he's going to think he got extra money. And what does that guarantee? That he's not going to chap that it was gold, because he's not going to take a second look. He's going to think, ooh, I got extra money here, and he's going to run the other way. So that's how the Yom Shoshom understood that. It wasn't that he was stealing the money from him. The guy made his own mistake in terms of identifying his own product. That's not my mistake. That's his mistake. So that's Talos Akum. Mata Akum would have been not paying him enough money and tricking him that I did pay him enough money. But Shmuel did the opposite. He paid him extra money. That's how the Yom Shoshom understands. And in fact, the Rambam seems to assume that Mata Akum is Aser. The Rambam in Gzeilah V'Aveda writes that even that Lahata'oso is Aser, and even if the Akum made a mistake on his own, the Rambam goes even another step L'chumra. Even if he made the mistake on his own, says the Rambam, you have to tell him that I'm being somech on your cheshbon. Even Ta'os Akum is only mutter if you tell the guy, I'm being somech on you. Where does he get that from? You have to tell him I'm being somech on you. Right, he understood that story in the Gemara of Amar Le, I'm being somech on you, as the Jew telling the guy I'm being somech on you. And he says, even in the case of Taos, forget about Mata, even in the case of Taos, only when you make such a declaration of being somech on you, only then is it mutter. And that's how the Magen Mishnah explains the Shitas HaRambam as well. Good. So what we have essentially is a Machlokas Rishonim whether Mata Akum is mutter. Rashi and Tosfos say mutter. The Rambam seems like it's not mutter. The Yom Shlomo certainly sounds like it's not mutter. And the Darkei Moshe on the bottom of the tour quotes a Mordechai. And he says, you know what? You're right. Baba Kama Kufyud Gimel, if that's all you had Baba Kama Kufyud Gimel, Rashi Tosfos, you would say that Mata Akum is mutter. But there's also Chulin Tzadi Dalet. What's Chulin Tzadi Dalet? So Chulin Tzadi Dalet is the sugya of Gnevis Das. And what does the Gemara say about Gnevis Das of a guy? Asu Lignav Das Abrios Fafilu Das Akum. You're not even allowed to do Gnevis Das of a guy. So says the Darkei Moshe. The Mordechai Perikah goes al Basra Da Asu Lahatosa. You're not allowed to be Mata a guy. Why? Fafilu Gnevis Das Aser Kol Shkei Lahatosan. You're not even allowed to do Gnevis Das. Of course, you're not allowed to fool them into giving you something that caused them to make a mistake. That's at least Gnevis Das. It's Gnevis Das and then some.
I just want to say something. Now that I think about it may also have to do with if the person that you said that the guy spoke to someone on the phone, right? So I don't know if they have control or not, but they said that you took the chance, you took the risk. So they thought they won that scenario, but now he actually received the stuff. So he actually took the risk and got the reward. So now why is it returning?
I mean, you're saying when they said you took the risk, that then they were acknowledging that if this pays off for you, then fine?
Yeah.
I don't think so. I don't think they even said that. I think they were just saying, you know, come on, you have to know this. Like, this isn't going to fly. You know, we're not selling four swing sets for 99 cents. Yeah, I think. The Rama, it's important to realize this because we started out by saying, oh, it's Yadua. Talos Akum is Mutter, Mata Akum is Asir. The Rama writes, Talos Akum kigol na atosu b'cheshbona lafkia alvaso mutter, oblevad shal yivadu ladeleka chil Hashem. V'yesh omrim da asala atosu elim tamei atzmo shari. Meaning the idea that Mata Akum is Asir is a yesh omrim in the Rama. The first day in the Rama said, Talos Akum kigol la hatoso is Mutter. Which makes it sound like that Mata is Mutter also, and only Yeshom holds Mata as also. When you have a Stam in Yeshomrim?
In
general.
Stam.
We always pass like a Stam. Right? So the Stam of the Rama, Lahatoso is Mutter. Yeshomrim of the Rama, that it's also. Whoa! So it turns out that this whole idea of Mata Akum being Aser, is not, we don't really pass in that way. So it should be noted, I think the way people read this Rama is that the V'yei Shomrim is not arguing in this time. He quotes the Lashon of the Torah, Ta'os Hakim Kigol Nahata'oso, doesn't mean that you're Mata. Nahata'oso doesn't necessarily mean that you're Mata. And it's really meduyik this way, and some of the Achronim, some of the Achronim are try to figure out why the Darkei Moshe thought that the Torah holds Mata Akum is Mutter, and they're not medayik from the word Lahatosa. They're medayik from other things that the Darkei Moshe says. If that's the case, then maybe when he just quotes that Lashon of Lahatosa, maybe that's not taking a stance that Mata Akum is Mutter. I think the standard psak is that Mata Akum is Asur. I think that's the standard psak, despite the mashmos of the Torah otherwise, and Rashi and Tosfos otherwise. I think that's the standard psak. So can we be makel over here for this guy to keep these items? So here are the snifim lahakel. First of all, mata might be mutter, right? Second of all, this might not be mata, this might be toes. Third of all, and this we haven't discussed yet, let's say a person steals from a guy. Terrible, terrible thing, right? Violates the aver of stealing from a guy. Do you have to return it? You're definitely not allowed to do it. Do you have to return it? So, by Gezel Agoy, the Rambam writes in Luchos Gezela Perek Aleph Halacha Beis, absolutely, you have to return it. Yachzir lo. But the Ramah in Ebenezer, Simon Chav Ches, says that Gezel Akum, you don't have to return except for Kiddush Hashem. Meaning you do have to return it, but that's only because of Kiddush Hashem. There's no inherent din in Hilchos Gezela that you need to return Gezel Akum. What? Over here you say it's a chil Hashem to return it.
He didn't know he stole in the first place, and going back and returning a stolen item,
you're a Jew. Okay, now they're going to realize. Okay, maybe. Why wouldn't there be a chiv to return it? You're not allowed to steal it. Why wouldn't there be a chiv to return it? Because you have to realize there are two separate mitzvahs in the Torah. There's mitzvahs that also say to steal, and then there's a mitzvah say veheshev esakzela. In the parsha of veheshev esakzela, it says amito. Amito is only another Jew. So that's what the Nesivus explains. Nafkamina, by the way, between the Rambam and the Darkei Moshe. Nafkamina between the Rambam says there's an inherent chiv hashavah. Darkei Moshe says, nah, it's only chil Hashem issue. It's not an inherent chiv hashavah. So Rama writes, Nafkamina would be, let's say you go in your Mekadesh Nisha with it. Mekadeshes, away in the Mekadeshes. Right? So the Masari Kedushin always says to the Chasen under the Chuppah, did you buy this ring with your own money? Right? Why does he say that? Because you have to own it in order to be Mekadesh Nisha with it. So if you say like the Rambam that you have an inherent chiv to return it, it's not yours. Can't be Mekadesh Nisha with it. Ain't a Mekadeshes. But if you say like the Rambam, then no, chiv to return it is a din Kiddush Hashem. It has nothing to do with din Egzela. So then Mekadeshes. The Rambam paskins that Nezer Simul Chavches, you Mekadesh Begezelakum, Harei Hi Mekadeshes. So some of the Nosekelim say, Misafek. Meaning, if another man goes in, Chalks Mechokik says, and if another man goes in as Mekadesh, she needs to get Mishnehem. We don't say that Ein Choshen Likidush, and she's going to need to get from the second guy also. They're not so thrilled to say, you know, they're not so keen on saying that it's absolute, that, you know, absolutely that she's Mekadesh. But it's at least a sniff lahakal. Maybe I did everything wrong. And maybe it's Mata Akum, and Mata Akum is Asur, and everything is wrong. But maybe I don't have a Chiv Hashava. So at least a sniff lahakal. But here's why I think you have to be machmir. A couple of reasons why you have to be machmir. First of all, we'll start with the halacha, then we'll go to the hashkafa. Halacha, why you have to be machmir? Someone told me that Toys R Us is largely owned by a fund that is a Jewish fund. So the whole discussion of Tos Akum, it's a lot of Jewish money involved in Toys R Us. So right off the bat, the whole thing goes out the window. If that's true. Second of all, even if it's not largely owned by a Jewish fund, I mean, it's a publicly traded company and the stock goes up, stock goes down, and people could be losing jobs and whatever. This is, you're definitely hurting other Jews, through this. So that alone might be enough. Okay, maybe it's so indirect that, that you're not going to be held culpable in terms of chiyuv to pay, but it's certainly wrong. Now, in terms of al derech hashkafa, so, there's a great Berhetev. Berhetev writes, you know, in the context of discussing all these kinds of a Baragola. The Baragola in Choshe Mishpat Simashim Mem Ches, on the spot, writes, Va'ani kosev zos zikaron ledoros. Says, I'm writing this down so that all future generations should know. Shari'isim rabim godlu ve'ashiru mintol she'etu akum. I saw a lot of people make a lot of money off of mistakes of non-Jews that they took advantage of. v'lo hitzlichu v'yardu minichzeyon l'timyon. And ultimately, they weren't successful long term in their businesses, and they lost all their money. V'lo inichu achreim bracha, and they didn't have any bracha in their lives from it. Meaning, nice guys don't necessarily. I'm sorry, mean guys, bad guys may finish first in the short run, but in the long run, the bad guys are going to lose. In the long run, if that's the way a person makes his money, it's not going to work out well. You know, the guy could be taking advantage, thinking he's living it up, and he's, you know, hosting the leading sports show in the morning on drive time, and everything's great, and he's just pulling shenanigans on the side, and you know, it's all great. It's all going to come crumbling down. So that's Aleph. And Beis, and this is what the point we always try to make, and I think it cannot be said enough, and that is that we live in a world where, unfortunately, people feel that they can, all too often, people from us, from our circles, feel that they can take advantage of other people, and they can be dishonest with the way they deal with other people's money, whether it be with tax fraud, with Medicare fraud, with Ponzi schemes, with insider trading, all, you know, you name it. And there is a person with a yarmulke who's been guilty of it. And whenever we're faced with a situation where we find the world is going in a certain direction, so the Rambam writes that if you see that something is being pulled in one extreme, we have to sort of even things out by going into the other extreme. And people very often don't see gray. They see things in black and white. As soon as you start saying that these kinds of things are mutter, oh, so if that's mutter, then what else is mutter? And it doesn't serve us well. And even if you're going to say, you know, let's say the guy's name isn't, Shmerel, Berkowitz or something. You know, his name is something that could sound perfectly non-Jewish. So even if the guy's going to say, there's not going to be any Chilul Hashem over here. They'll have no idea that I'm Jewish. Let's say the guy doesn't live in the Five Towns. He lives in, Wichita. Yeah, they'll have no idea that I'm Jewish. But Gadol, when Jews do these things, it ultimately leads to a Chilul Hashem. And therefore, I think all of these things are absolutely forbidden, especially in this kind of thing where we know, I mean, I hope it's not true, but probably most of the orders in Toys R Us that day were, like I said before, from New Jersey, New York, and the major communities therein. And that ultimately is a very great... There's a reason why there's only one Walmart in the entire country that had to change its return policies. That was the Walmart in upstate New York, because people buy things at the end of June and return them at the end of August. Oh, I didn't need it anymore. Yeah. So they had to change their return policies. And that's a very great Chilul Hashem.
What's to say about like Dan Ziels that sends out all these things right away? You know, like, quick, hurry up, you know, you're going to miss out on the...
He doesn't ask me his shaylas. I would tell him not to send those things out. The things that he sends out that are stam, you know, good deals. Delta has flights to Israel in December for $878. So that's not a mistake, it's not a typo. They're offering a good deal. I just wouldn't have known about it before it sells out. So good. So he does a lot of that. There's a lot of that in Dan's deals. There's also some of this stuff. Sometimes it's you don't even realize it's a mistake. Someone sent me that Air Canada to Israel round trip for like $375. All you have to do is stop in Toronto for 8 hours. Now, Toronto's not exactly Siberia, you know, not so bad. Stop in Toronto for 8 hours is what to do, you know. I don't know. There's stuff to do in Toronto. Nice city. There's good food there. There's shuls there, you know. So it sounded great. It turned out that was a mistake, right? So if it is a mistake, now, I remember when the El Al thing happened a couple of years ago. Remember that? Where everyone was getting round-trip tickets. What was it for? Like $200 or something like that, $400, whatever it was. And I asked Rav Schechter, all the people that bought, and El Al was honoring that. So I asked Rav Schechter, all the people that bought the tickets, I want to know if they're allowed to keep him. He said, no, all the religious Jews are going to return the tickets and make a big Kiddush Hashem. He's like, I'm not sure that's going to happen. You know, like, he thought for sure, like, yeah, that's what religious Jews would do. And that should be what religious Jews would do. It happened to be in that case, El Al was offering an upgrade for an extra $200 that you could fly direct and not stop over. So that, I think, they honored it, but then they offered an upgrade, and I thought if you take advantage of that upgrade, then it's a totally new transaction. You're buying a different ticket for a different price. So that probably was not a problem. I wasn't so convinced that taking advantage of the first one is not a problem. I thought that might be an issue, even though they honored it. They honored it because they felt like they had to, not because they wanted to. Okay, we'll stop there. Have a wonderful Shabbos, everybody.